Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. Today, we are talking about Season 3, Episode 8, Motel Review. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, as always, I am joined by my co-host, who likes to see all of his clothes just laid out at once before he decides what to wear. Stuart, how are you?
It's just an ocean of black t-shirts.
Which black t-shirt shall I wear today, paired with which monochrome hoodie?
It's very Victoria Beckham in the Spice World movie of just little black dress or little black dress. Like, you don't have to think about it. You just pick it up and go.
It's your uniform.
Exactly. Uniform for life. I'm just that efficient. I'm like Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Yeah, he didn't have to think about his clothing. There's a reason for it.
I mean, I'd like to cite that. No, it's just laziness. I just don't want to think about it. No.
Well, we're honored today to bring back a returning guest, someone who always ends all their voicemails with "Ciao." It's JD. JD, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Yeah, I think I'm kind of the opposite of Stuart, though. If Stuart is efficient, I'm more of like a feeling, I think, like a, you know, like an experience.
You're a vibes dresser.
I'm a vibes dresser. I'm a vibes I mean.
I feel like that's, yeah.
Interesting title, but not the worst I've had, certainly.
Well, we're so happy to have you on today, JD. I'm really excited to talk about this episode. I feel like this is one that people have been anticipating your thoughts on, Stuart. And if anyone is going to be blamed for like spoiling Stuart or like leading him on, it shall not be me, okay? Because our listeners have absolutely zero chill, and everybody was just like very, very, very pumped for Stuart to get to this episode. And I have to imagine that immediately upon watching this episode, Stuart, you were like, huh, I think I know why.
Yeah, when you're there looking at a lot of comments coming in with like redactions and no Stuart beforehand, and a lot come in, I'm like, okay, this feels significant. And so what is there about this episode that's different from everything else? Oh, a character and something that everyone's like, I'm really excited for you to get to see this. And I'm like, I wonder what this could be. So perhaps, I don't know, maybe Patrick's going to be someone of note.
Who knows? Certainly not me.
Because you don't spoil it.
I love that you have led with this, because I had that thought just like a couple of days ago before coming, knowing that I was coming on here and going, okay, so, and I mean, look, I will talk right through the curtain and say, maybe you're right. Maybe this is a recurring character, because there's not much else. Like, it's like, what else is the big thing? You know, who knows? But like, I was like, oh, should I? Like, I'll just have to play it really cool. So I'm glad that other people didn't, so that I don't have
No one played it cool. Honestly, I didn't play it cool. It's fine. We're here now. I don't think we need to beat around the bush too much, because in my opinion, the joy of this show, it's you can kind of get spoiled on some things and it's not going to affect your enjoyment of the overall product. So yes, Patrick is here. People love Patrick. Stuart, I want to get just so we could put it out all on the table, because you came into the show knowing like only a few things, probably either through gifts or just like living in the world. So let's put it all on the table just so we can level set people's expectations. What exactly do you know about Patrick, his involvement in the show, etc.?
Everything. I've actually watched this entire series. I know I've been faking it this entire time. No, Patrick is someone that I don't think I've encountered before, at least or in a GIF or in a reference. Maybe the name's been thrown out and I've just not picked up on it. But I kind of got the vibe that there was a character coming up. I just didn't know who. The only thing I will say that I was spoiled on, and I think looking back, I'm not sure who it was, but I'm sure a guest has worn a shirt bearing this name, is Rosa Parker Apothecary, which that was, I guess, spoiled for me. But other than that, I don't think I'm that spoiled. Not to say that this is like a mystery box where spoilers are really going to ruin the whole experience. It's a freaking sitcom, guys.
Stuart, do you genuinely not remember who wore that shirt, or are you trying to be kind to your current guest? Because
I'm trying to be kind to the current guest.
I didn't know who it was. That's so funny.
I noticed about the moment that we started recording, and if you go back and watch the video of it, I'm constantly like being aware of my shirt and adjusting my camera and my arms and trying to cover it up and stuff, trying to make it
That's
not
hilarious.
Obvious.
I want to go back and watch that now. That's hilarious. I mean, I've probably made reference. I know I have like a mug that says Rose Apothecary on it. I think the thing is the name in and of itself isn't necessarily a spoiler. Once you hear it associated with David's shop, okay, yes, then it tracks.
Yeah.
But yeah, the name in and of itself isn't a spoiler. But I'm excited to know that you know almost nothing about Patrick, because like I said, even if you know he is going to continue to be on the show in the way that like people were excited when Ted first showed up, you know, like, oh, he must be important, he must be on the show. I feel like it's the moments that you get to see of him on the show that are the most fun and the stuff that I would hope you wouldn't get spoiled on. So we're level setting expectations, people. Okay. Stuart knows that Patrick is here. He knows that's why you were excited. He knows nothing else. And we will keep it that way.
Now chill.
So we're all going to be chill. We're all going to be chill. If I can keep my mouth shut of all people, like if I have the ability to not talk, anybody can do it. You know, it's so true.
Oh my God, get that cross stitched onto a pillow or something. That was inspirational. If she can do it, everyone, you can do it too.
Shut up, so can you.
I was going to be like all proud of my I generally have like a really good record of not spoiling things for people, but we did kind of just, you know, talk about one of the times that you know, maybe I slipped up a little bit. There was another one, but it was about Game of Thrones, and I don't want to say it on a podcast in case, just in case.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten that all out of the way, let's do our little quick recap before we dive into the ins and outs of this episode. Johnny is finding new ways to improve the motel every episode, which include coasters. So don't forget to find them on Tweeters. Unfortunately, actually, don't go on that app at all. Please just don't do it. Okay. Unfortunately.
It's okay. It's called Y now, maybe in the in
maybe
universe.
It's called Y, as in why does this still exist?
Why does this still exist?
Unfortunately, this means that Moira will have to handle the front desk while Stevie changes the linens. Moira instantly just pisses off a guest, and the guest leaves them a terrible review. Johnny suggests that she apologize, but Moira being Moira instead creates a ridiculous story that involves her bald, pregnant, penniless daughter and an incestuous uncle who's a part of a cartel. So it works. And the review gets taken down. So good on Moira, I guess. Meanwhile, Alexis gets accused of plagiarizing in an economics paper in Jocelyn's class, and it turns out Johnny rewrote her paper without her knowing as a way to make up for her not being around when she actually was in high school originally. Alexis is forced to rewrite the paper, and she gets a decent grade on it. So good job, Alexis. David is filing incorporation papers for the new store, which will be called Rose Apothecary, which should be exciting, but instead sends him into a tizzy when Ray's coworker, Patrick, new guy Patrick, not important Patrick, asks him basic questions about his plans for the general store. David gets high with Stevie, leaves Patrick a ton of embarrassing messages, and ends the voicemails with ciao. But at least he has a solid business plan, right, Stuart?
Ciao.
Ciao.
I can't. Oh, there's few moments in sitcoms where the cringe-ometer goes too far. I think we've made reference to it before. Scott's tots in The Office, mm-hmm. phenomenal, but it goes too far. It dials it up too much.
Unwatchable.
How did they condense that feeling into such a short period of time but have it just as intense? I was just there screaming, going, hang up, stop it.
He should have hung up after the first, hey, David, it's Patrick. Just red button, eject yourself from the plane right now. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Move out, burn the phone, leave the country. Yeah, you have a new life now. Accept it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that should have been it. Okay, so let's stick with David's storyline first. JD, I know the reason you signed on to this episode, and I think it's very clear that it is David's storyline of filing corporation papers, figuring out what exactly he wants to do with his business. I think it was funny, JD, because anybody who knows you, I feel like would agree with this. When Patrick was asking David, like, okay, what are you going to sell at your store? And he's like, well, kind of everything, but also nothing, but also it's an experience. I was like, this feels like a JD.
Yeah. Yeah, no, truly, it does. And I signed on to the episode without thinking of that, and then like went and watched the episode. I think probably the day after I had talked to you or something about it, and immediately was like, oh, not only does that sound just kind of like me, right before the pandemic, I was about to start a business. Me and my partner Leah were about to start a business.
I remember that, yes.
And it was. Like it was like a bar, but it ended up like kind of like a restaurant, but like a lounge and like sort of like a chill place. And like it was like our business plan felt it hit very close to home. Rewatching it, it felt very much how I describe lots of experiences.
Mm-hmm. It's like an experience. It's like a coffee place, somewhere to hang.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly David should have had a better handle on all of this before going to Ray's to get the papers filed. And while we're on the subject, I feel like we need to talk about what was happening in the background of that entire scene with Ray doing his photography business and some of the ways he was asking, look at her, but also look at me, was one of his instructions he gave to the people he's taking the photo of.
It was ridiculous. I love the whole, you like sports? Okay, you grab a paddle, you grab a badminton racket. Like, what were the poses as well?
I think it was an engagement photo shoot.
Yeah, but there was like a hand covering a crotch at one point, but they're looking away from each other. It's just, are there no ends to Ray's talents?
There are not.
Everything.
He's now doing closet organization.
Everyone needs their closet organized. I mean, we've seen David reorganize his knits at least 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess everyone kind of needs this. Yeah, everyone needs it. But yeah, he has hired Patrick because he's just inundated. He's inundated with stuff going on. So Patrick is now working with him. And Stuart, I have to ask you, what were your first impressions of Patrick and his interactions with David?
Loved it. Like anyone that is going to go up against the Roses and call them out on their bullshit, I'm so here for. But he did it in a kind of nice way, I guess. Like, Stevie is kind of really scathing with it. And Patrick was just more pointing it out gently, but still not being so passive that it was horrible. It was just kind of like, okay, some great buzzword. I'm going to need an answer, though. So it was kind of like nudging, but also being like, stop talking like complete bollocks here, David. Like, you've actually got to say something, which was really good. Why he's working for Ray, I don't know. He seems to be quite competent. So, and not to say that Ray isn't competent.
How dare you? How dare you, Stuart?
There's such a mixture of things.
I think there might be half a dozen jobs total in Schitt's Creek. Maybe. And so, like, you got to get him where you can take him. What was Patrick doing before he was working for Ray? That's my question.
Can I get some guesses from you, Stuart? What do you think he was doing?
Based on the employment of most other male presenting characters, I'm going to say woodworker.
Considering in his living room, obviously.
And anyone that's hot and, like, newly... turning up in this show seems to be working, like, making furniture.
Yeah.
So possibly that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Stuart, can
I genuinely have no memory at all if or when they, like, cover what he was doing before now. So, and also I did rewatch the whole series after I watched the episode. Like, it finally got me this time. I, like, watched the episode the day after you told me, and then I've rewatched the whole series at least once since then. So,
It gets you. Can I see? I want to see if something made its way across to the UK, Stuart. Being that we're around the same age, it's possible we both watched a show that is near and dear to my heart from my childhood. Did you ever watch the show Franklin? Franklin the Turtle?
No. Should I have?
I mean, not necessarily. It was a show from my childhood, an animated show. I feel like it's most known for its theme song that it had, which was, "Hey, it's Franklin, going over to play."
This sounds exactly like Pappyland. Are all your shows all the same?
Pappy drew it. Listen, Pappy was a bop, okay? But something else of note, which I will state on the podcast most specifically because we have a Canadian guest on, is Noah Reed, who plays Patrick, is also a Canadian actor. So we love that.
Heck yeah. And I think a musician as well.
Also a musician, yes.
Before and after the show, I think that he, like, I forget there. I think he, like, maybe like a Juno nominated musician. That would sound like a big deal in Canada. the Junos are the Canadian Grammys.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And if there's one thing that needs like watering down, it's the Grammys, right? Like.
So yeah, I did think that was worth noting. But I love their interaction. I agree with you, Stuart. I think similar to Stevie and David's relationship, Patrick is able to kind of needle at him and like poke at him, but in a way that's productive because he, in all of these voicemails that he ends up leaving Patrick, you know, Patrick is able to fill out the paperwork for him. He's able to kind of pick the little nuggets of information out of the rambling and put it all on paper and get his incorporation papers filed. So this is all great news. It's very helpful.
Yeah, he's really good and helpful. And sorry to do this after letting you go on for so long. What's this got to do with Franklin?
I just wanted to know if you had seen Franklin, that's all.
That's just a side question. I'm here.
Because
I've been waiting for the needle to drop as to where the connection is.
No, like, there isn't one.
Voice Franklin?
Oh, yes, he voiced Franklin, sorry. Yeah. I thought I said that already. I didn't say that.
If you did, I didn't catch it.
I didn't catch it either if you did.
I didn't say it then. He was the voice of Franklin the Turtle. And so a lot of people, when they found that out, were like very excited because, again, like a little piece of nostalgia for 90s kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you didn't get it, you know, wild. You missed out on, "Hey, it's Franklin."
I mean, it looks familiar. But I mean, we got Ninja Turtles. Is that close enough?
No, because he doesn't fight crime or anything. He like just hangs out with his friends, who I think are also different anthropomorphized animals, if I'm remembering correctly. It aired in 97, so yeah, this would track with when I watched it.
I'm just thinking it's like a poor man's Arthur.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember what the heck it even aired on, because Arthur was PBS. I don't know if Franklin was PBS. But anyway,
I'm gonna say hey. Sorry.
What a wonderful time to play. Hey! Anyway.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language?
Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
So that's Patrick. He's new. He's here. David seems to kind of hate him, but also he helps him out. And again, it makes him, JD, this is the second episode in a row now where we've seen David be like, am I really supposed to do this? Like, he's like waffling on the decision to get the lease for the store. And it takes Stevie being like, I told you I like the idea, and you know I'm incapable of being insincere. So I obviously like it.
And she's also incapable of being sincere, both ways.
Yes, I believe
she pointed out, which I identify with very much as well. I think David has probably never been in a position before in his life where the quality of his idea mattered. It was just, you know, if he needed money or wanted to do a project, he could just do it. And now he's got to like actually think about it. And so I think that more than being incapable of doing those things, I think that he doubts that he's capable of doing those things and is requiring a lot of pushing from outside sources to be like, no, you actually do have some, like even from Patrick, who is like, okay, your process of doing business right now is trash, but you do have something here.
David's like confidence is certainly going to be shaken up after last week's episode when Moira revealed the whole thing about how they effectively been bankrolling David with buying supplying patrons and buying the arts through them and things like that. So there's got to be this massive uncertainty as to whether or not this idea does actually have legs. And so that's the one part where I think I slightly forgive David for not taking Stevie's word, because there is that kind of sense of self-doubt. But getting it from a third party, from a new person as well, one that has seen probably David at his worst, what with the voicemails, and to actually say, no, you've actually got a good idea, I think it was really endearing and kind of gave me a bit of hope. I just wonder if whether or not there's going to be some sort of little something going on here, because David was flustered.
He was.
Flustered in a way that, have we seen David this sort of flustered ever before?
Maybe, but also he did just smoke a joint that was like underneath one of the motel beds. So,
That
could be the cause of being flustered. Also, I've never seen, I forget the word for it, but like, what's the thing where when you have ADHD and it's like there's too much going on and you just like sit and do nothing?
Oh, like
executive dysfunction.
I do it all the time.
What is it?
I mean, executive dysfunction is something, but like,
decision paralysis, is that it?
That's another. I mean, that's another
it's,
one.
That's,
yeah.
that's another set of words that could work. Yeah.
when he's in the store and he's just looking, and then he moves a chair, and then he moves it again.
That like, accompanied with the high pitched tone was just hilarious. And just David just kind of. Almost like in pain, like, of just trying to make a decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when, if you've ever been in an empty space that has just a couple of things, you really do feel productive in moving a chair to just a random corner. You're like, oh, yeah, totally different. Like right now.
It opens the whole space up.
Yeah, completely.
That metaphor of my own almost business continued at this point when I was watching the show, because we had like, we rented a space in February of 2020.
What a time.
Yeah, what a time. And so like we had for about the next year, I think, like we had this space and we were like very gradually like moving stuff in, but we were doing it very slowly at this point because, you know, who knew when things were going to reopen and that sort of stuff. And so like I literally I remembered being in there one time. It was next door to the yoga studio, and Leah was next door doing or working at the yoga studio. And I was in this nearly empty thing with like one chair, and I was like figuring out a place to, and then I was like taping out the outline of it and then like moving it to another spot so that I could like,
yeah,
just like test out where the chair should go, I guess.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So I don't know the word for it, but I know the experience.
I still don't know the words for it. It's something like analysis paralysis or something like that. Anyway, anything else on David and Patrick before we move on to our next storyline?
Not that I can think of, but yeah, I'm going out there and saying it. I think saying it's gonna happen there. Getting that vibe.
Well,
yeah,
let's talk
about definitely some vibes, like some vibes being put out in the show, whether or not, you know, we'll see where that goes.
Let's talk about Alexis and her economics paper. The fact that Johnny rewrites this and doesn't think that it's a problem that he's using words like untoward in a paper that Alexis wrote makes me question Johnny's intelligence a lot. it's not good.
Johnny can't help himself sometimes. I think Johnny has to take control and show off. And I think it just puts blinkers on him where he doesn't see the world as others would see it, kind of like situation. He's like, no, this is just how it should be and should be right. This was a monumental bad move in my books. Like, it was such a rude thing to do, like to not tell her, like, for one thing, or like, and then to get absolutely like, and not realize that Alexis is like poking at him, like trying to get him to like kind of reveal it and stuff like that, and not clocking on. Just, Johnny, dude, I know you're stressed about coasters, but come on, pay attention, buddy. Like, you've got to understand what's going on here, right? Am I being really judgy again on Johnny? I feel like sometimes I'm a bit too mean on him, but this was so bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, JD, I think I can understand why he's doing this, because he wasn't able to help Alexis cheat when she was originally in high school all those years back. And so he feels like he's making up for lost time. But also, there's a difference between, okay, and as someone who has a father who has done something like this unasked, I did not ask for this. You know, I would never. And it wasn't a paper. I had a political cartoon that I had to draw when I was in, let's say, fifth grade or so. And my father, loved him dearly. He has every artistic gene you could have. It's very difficult to instruct someone on how to draw. Like, it's, you know, it's not easy to do. And my father is not known for his abundance of patience. And so instead, he essentially drew my political cartoon for me. It was Smokey the Bear. It looked great. Wasn't me that drew it, but someone did in our house. So I understand the like drive and the want to do something, but JD, couldn't he have just been like, oh, do you want some like tips on your paper? Or like maybe you use the wrong then versus then in that sentence. Like there's other ways he could help.
Yeah, I think that there is a very real lesson in here about like toxic helpfulness or something like that. Helpfulness is only helpful if the person receiving the help wants that help. And a lot of people, you know, hopefully it's not super prevalent to the extent that the show that it manifests in the show, but I think it definitely like happens, and it has happened in my own life where I've identified it, where I'm like, you know, just like even with people around me in my life, and I just like, oh, I know these people, I know what they want, and then, you know, I'll actually talk to them and I'll be like, oh, that's actually not what my kind of help wasn't what you wanted. So like, I mean, yeah, I think Johnny's confidence is based on like him getting things done. But I think the thing that he continues to find out through the show is that it's rarely himself that has influenced getting things done. It is the people around him or under him in his company, and that sort of thing. And so he has to kind of learn to work as a team, which is a very basic sort of concept in life, but the roses are kind of learning some basic concepts in life at this point. So
yeah, Johnny does reek of someone who was like the CEO of his own company, and so doesn't necessarily know how to delegate or listen.
tries to make him as likable as possible, but ultimately he's still like a former CEO of a company. And they're like, this is kind of like, I'm sorry.
I do think the show would have a big problem if it wasn't Eugene Levy playing this character, because I think just having him being on the screen makes you love him. Like, you're automatically giving him the benefit of the doubt, I think. And like, he's somewhat endearing. His presence is endearing. And I think without that, Johnny becomes a very different character, because while I can appreciate he wants to help his daughter and like be there for her, it's always his methods that I am like, Johnny, my guy, please. Like, what are you doing? It's not good. And also, I mean, shifting a little bit to talk about the other storyline with the motel. Never a good idea to have Moira at a front desk of anything. Like, I don't know in what world, Stuart, people think that she has people skills. Maybe if she is like on a stage and she has an audience, you can give her the credit for that. But I would never ask her to work any sort of retail or service job ever.
Never. Johnny had a senior moment and just lost his in mind for a short period of time, because nothing about what he did in this entire episode makes sense. Moira on the front desk is probably the most disastrous person that you could select in Schitt's Creek, and I include Roland in that.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
No, because Roland has like a country charm, right, or something.
Yeah,
like...
but Moira has not only the lack of self-awareness, but she also doesn't give a crap. So what is she gonna do? Like, you saw the way she just threw a key at the guy and was like, room three, there you go, and just wants to be done. She was so consumed with that book. And we've all been there where you don't want to deal with someone, you're like preoccupied with something else.
Yeah. But yeah, are the pillows feather
or she's
from?
Like.
Yes. Which one? I don't care. Oh my god!
I mean, I kind of love her for it, and I kind of was coming through this thinking, okay, Moira's done a very bad thing here and stuff like that. But then I was thinking, but if that were me, and I were Moira in that scenario, would I act any different? Probably not, because I don't care.
I don't care.
It's a big deal.
I mean, for sure, he was an annoying guest, right? Like, he wants a cot
so
he can lay out all his clothes. He, like, has a lot of requests. He's being very annoying. Oh, this vending machine soda is too cold. Like, he's annoying. Sure. Yes. But also, Moira, when you're trying to, like, earn stars and, like, get more people to come to this business that, like, your husband is heavily involved in, you have to be kind. And it was something of
maybe
the
you don't want every kind of customer, you know? We don't want your type.
Yeah, we don't we don't want you who needs the extra cot. I love the review itself. I was served by an intimidating woman at the front desk with an unrecognizable accent and scary looking attire.
So accurate.
That's like the that's like the thing that you can just tell people to try to get them into the show. It's like, hey, here, you want to watch Schitt's Creek? You know nothing about it. One of the characters is described as.
Yes. Yeah. And she follows up with that fussy little fucker. It's just incredible.
Such a cathartic reaction. And I was there. I was like, yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's perfect. It was incredible, and I love that in her Moira way, she will always get around like apologizing, or you know, she always has to go the extra level. And of course, JD, she will channel her acting as she always does. Every time she lies, it does feel like she is pulling from a character from a soap opera she was in. You know, you could see this on Sunrise Bay.
Yeah, I don't think that she lies as much as she like embodies a character at various times when needed. And yeah, I think she just like slips into, oh, when I played so-and-so on Sunset Bay, this was what they would do, because she definitely seems, I don't know, remember if they've actually said it or if they ever actually do, but she seems like the type of person who would be a method actor, like very, very hard into that. So like, you know that she's got like the personalities of every character she's ever played is stored away. And completely. Knowing her, those characters are very odd. So there's probably a wide range to pull from.
Yeah. Plus, if she does embody those characters, technically she's not lying. She's just living their truth, and their truth happens to be different from hers.
It's just, I just think if she acts at someone for long enough, eventually they will just relent, because they just don't know what to do with the information that she has bombarded them with. Because this story that she tells, it has so many angles and like layers. Like, my daughter married her uncle on my ex-husband's side, and then there has something to do with a cartel. And then I think the ex-husband's name was Dagger. And they threatened to burn down the motel and leave her pregnant baby penniless. And they shaved off all her hair. And then they ask, why do you work here for nothing? And I tell them, this is my flesh and blood. I do this for her. It's like, what? I'm sorry, what? So
she
instead of
lie,
asking
she
questions.
She crafts a scene.
Yeah. She crafts the truth. Is what it is. She crafts her own narrative.
But if it goes on long enough, if it goes on long enough, they'll either, be worn down and kind of be wary, or they'll turn out to be a fan and they'll give her a significant discount on the car, as we've seen.
It's a win-win. Yeah. Either you're going to enjoy this or you won't, but either way, you're going to give me what I want when it's over.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then on the other side, we have Johnny, who's getting coasters for the motel. And I am not in advertising, okay? But I don't understand the point of a coaster for a motel business at the business, because people are already staying there. And to David's point, there's nothing on it. There's not a web address. There's not a physical address. There's not a Twitter handle. There's nothing. It just says, follow us on Tweeters. And Who gave him approval for this? Tweeters.
This is the same kind of get up and go energy that David was bringing to the Blouse Barn, but with none of the execution or success. So Johnny should feel bad about this. Tweeters? Come on. Johnny's totally one of those people that would have made that with the old Twitter logo, you know, with the really kind of fat bird kind of one, not the kind of like nice one that they came out with and then Elon ruined it by calling it X and stuff. I hate this so much, because I have this vendetta against businesses that just slap on social media logos without any like address or username or kind of at stuff. They just go, "Boah, there's Twitter." What? I'm expected to search.
I know how to get
for
to
some
Twitter.
Niche plumbing business. Like, oh, fantastic! It's such boomer marketing. I hate it so much. But like, your point is completely true. Why would you want to advertise on a coaster that is going to be within a place that they are already staying? Is there this culture in America or Canada of people taking coasters? Like, do you steal them?
Well, yeah, okay, so coasters,
I mean, yes.
I will say there's advertising on coasters. Yes. Certainly this is a thing. Like, there is advertising, but like, you would have them at like the local bar or the cafe. This is a thing in American diners. I don't know if this is elsewhere, where your placemat at an American diner is going to be paper and it's going to be all local businesses advertised on the placemat.
That makes sense.
Something like that at Cafe Tropical makes sense. Coasters that say tweet us on Facebook without any sort of handle or hashtag at the motel you're already staying at feels like a waste of time and money. And I wish, I think the thing is with Johnny, and I think what I'm coming to realize about him is he's kind of like most dads, where he kind of thinks he knows everything and he doesn't need to ask for help. And he probably just should ask for help and should just be like, "Hey, my children who aren't boomers like me, what is social media and how can I get us on there? Can you help me? I need assistance." Because, I mean, David and Alexis both would have been able to look at that and been like, "What the hell is tweeters?" Like, no, wrong answer.
But instead he didn't. And so when they eventually do show it off, you get Alexis with the most patronizing reaction ever. Just tweeters. That's so funny. I've had that going on loop in my head for so long. I want it as a soundbite. Like, that's a mission.
I'll have to get it. Yeah. Tweeters. Yeah. It's very sweet, but Johnny, I just want him to do better. I just want him to do better. Also, I forgot to ask you this when we were talking about Alexis. But at one point she says, "I didn't even choose this font. It's so ugly." Stuart, what font would Alexis have chosen? And what did Johnny choose? Because I know you are like a font.
This is a question.
What a perfect question for Stuart. Oh my God. I am so excited for this now.
She absolutely wouldn't want Comic Sans. I think Alexis is in the know not to do that. But I don't think, like, we've got to deal with, like, we're talking standard fonts that would be on, like, a regular old computer. I don't think she's going to go off and download
font.
Exactly. Yeah. She's not going to go get a Proxima Nova or like a decent Helvetica kind of ripoff or a circular or anything like that. Yeah, your boy knows fonts. I think she might go for a wild choice, like a Ravey or something, you know, like a little funky or something.
Because can you spell Ravey so I could Google this?
R-A-V-I-E. Isn't it like a default Windows one?
Oh, it's like it's really kind of
chunky kind of and 60s.
I was thinking very like swoopy, scripty is what I pictured Alexis choosing.
Almost like a cursive
kind of thing.
Like a Bodoni maybe or something.
Like if you were looking on DaFont, it would be under calligraphy is what
I was picturing. Yeah. Very, in fact, she'd definitely be like a live, laugh, love kind of font.
God, just this phrase made me want to hurl. I can't with the love. It makes me want to vomit everywhere.
Oh my God. But could we also talk about her outfit, which seemed to be a kind of a throw blanket tied up with a bit of rope that she had fashioned into some weird kind of poncho.
She had a hat on too, right?
Now, if that outfit were a font, what font would that outfit be?
Papyrus.
It actually would really be papyrus.
The same papyrus makes Stuart's blood pressure rise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times they with Alexis they try to lean a little too bohemian, I think, for what she actually is. Like, girl does not look bohemian. Maybe, well, I guess she has had quite a number of adventures where she's been like kidnapped and stuff, so maybe that is a bit of like a roving wanderer sort of person, but I just like the Lex. I wouldn't even choose this font. Like, it's probably like Arial or like Times New Roman.
Oh, if it's Johnny picking the font, it's Times New Roman.
What is Johnny?
Sure.
Yeah, Johnny yeah. picks Time New Roman. Johnny doesn't know how to change the font from whatever the default is, right?
That's the answer.
Oh, Johnny would be typing in a completely different font and not realize it's actually different.
Yeah.
Johnny types in like 16-point font, you know, like a really large, like it's too big. It's too big.
Oh my God, I bet his glasses were at the end of his nose and he was really close to the screen, like, you know. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I caught my mum doing that recently. She had an iPad, glasses right at the end of her nose, and it was like that close to her face, like only a few inches. And I just went, "Mother, what are you doing?" And she goes, "I can't see."
Oh, that sounds the most British ever. I can't see.
I can't see.
All right. Anything else about anything we've discussed before we get into the feedback from the episode? Okay.
I was just going to say about Jocelyn. Like, I thought Jocelyn was, like, so chill with all of this. Because, like, when she calls out Alexis with the whole plagiarism thing, and she goes, "Do you know I'm, like, wanting to talk to you?" She goes, "Oh, because I was texting in class." And she's like, "No." And just glosses over it. Doesn't reprimand her. Doesn't kind of say anything. Just kind of, yeah, just accepts it and goes along with it. And then, of course, in the moment, gets the explanation, understands that it's Johnny that's the problem in this whole scenario, gives her a way out of it, and then by the end of the episode is totally on Alexis's side in kind of giving Johnny a bit of like a patronizing little kind of slap on the shoulder. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Jocelyn's back on form.
I think Jocelyn is smart enough to know, like, she's had a lot of students. I'm sure she's had to deal with some parents. Like, she has to know when there's like an overly involved parent or an absent parent, you know, she's aware. And I think Alexis is pretty astonished when she gets called out for plagiarizing in a way that feels very honest and genuine. So it's probably like, okay, I actually see what happened here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in Alexis's position and like a teacher coming to you and showing you a paper that you didn't write and that has your name on it? Like, I would be like, Alexis, honestly, for as kind of odd as she handles a lot of situations, she handled this too with a lot of like more calm than I would, for sure.
Yeah, she's just confused. She's like, what happened to my paper?
I love that she took it as a compliment at first, when she was like, yes, parts of this feel like they were written by someone else. And she's like, thank you.
Thank you. So ridiculous.
That actually happened to Leah in university at one point. They like had a teacher that like was questioning the validity of a paper because it had a good point in it, basically.
And they wrote it? Leah wrote it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So rude. That's insulting so and infuriating.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh. No. All right. Well, let's get into our feedback for this episode. First, let's talk about some feedback that we got from past episodes. The good news for me and the bad news for my husband is that apparently there is a beatboxing magician in the world. So watch out, I guess, is the lesson.
Josiah, when they said that, in, I was just crying with laughter. And it was the whole watch out, Will.
Watch out. We got some feedback from Ethan, who asked about from last podcast, are you white lights and colored decorations or full white / silver decorations, Stuart?
White lights, colored decorations. You got to have some color in there, right? Otherwise,
yeah, I'm very
that's
like
where
it's
too tacky.
Silver can be too tacky, and I'm not a person who's like, I'm not into the like everything is white or bay or gray, like coloring in general. I like color, so I'm very into like your typical Christmas decorations. Like, I'm not gonna be getting a pink whatever the heck. It's gonna mostly be red and green. You know, I have the little red truck that pulls the little like cutesy camper thing, and there's like a dog and a tree in the back of it. You know, very not vintage, what is the word, like homey is how I would phrase it.
Live, love, Christmas.
Stop it. Never. 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 JD, are you a Christmas lights person, and if so, colored or white?
I'm an I am an all the time lights person. That okay. like I when I and specifically a Christmas lights person, when I was like 16, 17 years old working at McDonald's one year at Christmas time, I sewed Christmas lights into my McDonald's shirt and hat and had but like this was it was like the 90s. So I didn't buy like battery powered Christmas lights. So they were like they required so much power to run. I had 8 9-volt batteries connected in sequence into a battery pack that I stuffed in my back pocket and a wire ran up the back of my shirt.
This is dedication for a job at McDonald's, JD.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't it wasn't so much about the job. It was about me surviving in that job and giving myself some joy within. Yeah. yeah. So, but those were all, they were very colored Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And so
I think if you're going to decorate yourself in Christmas lights, I would do colored. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I might do it differently. I might like not want 72 volts running around my brain sort of thing. Yeah. But, you know, I've probably killed my brain with other things since, so it's fine.
So relatable. Trish says about this episode, oh no, poor David, those voice messages, just stop right now.
Yeah, I share that sentiment massively.
So embarrassing. Jared says, what on earth was the photo shoot that Ray was doing, and why is that the business he focuses his time on while he gets his lackey to do the real work? I want every episode to incorporate Ray doing photography because I paused and laughed in so many of those moments. Like, his directions make no sense and it's everything. And he's doing it like with like stairs behind them. Like, the backdrop isn't even nice looking. It's so good.
Ray is, I think Ray is good at what. Ray is good at, is he the real estate person? Is that
yes.
right?
Yes, he's the jack of all trades and master of none.
Yeah, maybe he's gotten like really good at real estate. And so now, yeah, exactly. He's just like, I got to learn some new things. So he's like learning photography right now. He's like the cheap photographer that you go to like for a photo session before you find, like when you think that photography is expensive. And then you go to a photographer and then you go to like a real photographer and then you find out how really expensive like good artists are. And I'm not in like or actually worth. I'm not that's not said to with negativity towards artists. But yeah like he feels like the kind of like, you know, oh, you can get this photo shoot for $300 and that's going to seem like a real bargain until you see the photos. And then it's not going to feel actually good.
Yeah. I just love the fact that he takes this so professionally. Like, he's got the domain name.
I love his commitment.
Ray Bhutani Real Estate Photography Travel.com, which sadly doesn't exist. I did go to it. It is registered, but there's nothing there. But it's serious. And business is clearly booming. They've got a little ticket machine. Like, you only get
Why
those if you're busy.
Need this, though? Why would he need one of those? Like, it's one of those, like, deli checkout things where you take a number. Does he really get that much business?
Clearly. Why else would it be there, Jeff? Are you saying that Ray has got something that he doesn't need?
Ray has a bit of an ego, is all I'm saying. I feel like Ray, underrated is how big Ray's ego is. And as much as people like to get on Bob's case, we need to be getting on Ray's case a little bit more.
I mean, I gasp, but I mean, I have swung quite heavily in Ray's corner and out of Ray's corner. Like, when they had the auction and then he started roasting Johnny for being poor, I was like, that's just so unnecessary, Ray. But you're trying to make a sale here and you're not making it. He does auctions as well. Okay, I'm making a list. I'm going to write down all of Ray's professions.
We got a message from Emily. Stop calling and leaving voicemails, David. Emily also said, unfortunately, even a lot of college students mix up their thans and thens. Ugh. Which nowadays with like Google Docs or Microsoft Word, I mean, most of them help you out with that and do the little squiggle on the underneath, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're lucky if they're writing it themselves these days anyway. ChatGPT just it writes it, does it for you. It's great.
Writes it for you. We also got a message from Ashley. Outside of work, when was the last time you left a voicemail? This is an excellent question. I feel like I've only ever left them for like doctors or like vets, not humans.
Yeah. I think the last one might have been to my brother.
I don't even remember. I don't know the last time I talked to my brother by the phone.
I usually do it when it comes up to buying gifts for family members. And usually if they don't answer, they just get a very short message from me, which is me screaming down the phone, "Answer!" And then just leaving it at that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the... whoever wrote that that Inn's point is made when none of us can remember the last time.
Yeah, no, it's not often. Yeah. It's not often.
I like the only person I ever like of leaving a voicemail recently, but I cannot remember when or for what. And I don't think I don't think I would actually want anybody to call me back. So I don't know why I'd leave a voicemail anywhere.
Yeah, it's like usually it's like my mom is the only one who I'll like talk to on the phone.
Yeah,
you know.
But in the work setting, though, so at work, I put in place a system that then transcribes all of the voicemails into an email. So I don't even have to return them. I just email them back and go, "I know what you said. Here's a message. I will refuse to talk to you on the phone because I'm a millennial and we are scared of the phone."
Yeah, don't call me. Just text me.
Yeah.
With Aaron a little programming says, of ChatGPT, you can completely automate that sort of line of.
Oh, yeah. If I can get it to reply to them as well. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
Aaron asks, Stuart, if Patrick is important, what kind of important are you thinking? And you did this motion earlier.
Yeah, unintended. Yeah, no,
a little bit like, of this.
Maybe a little bit of that. Who knows?
And to see what we're doing, watch us on YouTube. Talking shit. Find us. You could see us in wigs last week.
Get us to 200 subscribers. We still haven't worked out what we're doing, but do it.
Not being waterboarded. We've really nailed that.
Yeah, we have established you didn't want to be waterboarded. And just to reiterate that, just in case anyone was wondering if you weren't serious.
I was very serious,
I think maybe there's going to be some between them, you know? Maybe a little smooch. Maybe one day. Who knows? Jessica.
I will never not do this now. it's giving a Critical Role, Let Chaos Reign, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
We got an email from Erica. This cracked me up so much. I just wanted to share with you both that there is a store here in Montreal called, it's like French, I think. Noelle. It's not Eternal because the E has a thingy on it, but I don't speak French. So I'm just going to say Noël Eternal and apologize, which is Eternal Christmas.
Which way does the thingy go?
The thingy goes from left to right.
That is pronounced like an A, I think. So it's probably just like Eternal. Yeah. Like it's just probably like in French, it'd be like Noël Eternal.
Noël Eternal.
I am Canadian, but not I am trash at French. So I should have stopped at it sounds like Spanish. A, and then I should have turned my microphone off.
I took Spanish, and so I'm sorry. And it is exactly like the concept of Christmas World. They're open year round with Christmas stuff, and it kind of looks like somebody puked glitter on everything. This definitely works in Montreal's Old Port, as it's a tourist hotspot year round, but I'm not sure how that type of business would ever work in a small town like Schitt's Creek. Thank goodness David is stepping in with his just pretentious enough Rose Apothecary.
Honestly, I'm so grateful for it because I hate those Christmas stores so much. They hurt my soul.
I can't do the glitter that comes with Christmas stuff.
Oh my God. There is a Christmas store, or was? I don't know. It's been a long time. But when I was a kid, there was one in like Frankenmuth, Michigan, I think, which was like near enough to where I lived that we could go there on a holiday or something. It was near Flint, Michigan, like in that area. Mm-hmm. That's really the end of the story. I went there and it was, you know, Christmas in the summer is weird. It's fuck It's freaking weird.
That's the story.
I got, you know, I don't really fully hear my story until it starts coming out of my mouth, and this one got partway out, and I'm like, there's no real end to this, so I'm just gonna have to tell them that.
Just end it.
I love it.
All right, let's get to our ratings. Let's start with you, JD. Who was simply the best this episode?
I think that that's got to be Patrick. He like set David in his place in a way that like nobody else has been able to like really focus his attention before.
Patrick getting a simply the best point. Stuart, what say you?
I didn't even consider Patrick, but that's actually a really good point to make. I think I've not established them as someone in contention yet. I'm going to go with a weird choice. Despite messing things up, I'm going to go with Moira. Because I thought the way in which she, I thought the way in which she rescued the bad review was inspired.
Okay.
I thought it was just really good. And I kind of like her just, I don't want to do this attitude. Like when she was asked at the beginning, like Stevie goes, oh yeah, he said you could help out. She just like, cathartic goes, did he? And it cracked me up. Moira was just on top form, and I feel like,
and she did fix the problem, right? Like
she did, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. She created, she like one could argue she that she created it, but you could also argue that that guy kind of created it. Like he was at least, you know, that customer was at least, the customer is not always right, y'all.
That was a bad review waiting to be written.
Yeah. I'm not gonna give my point to Moira because I think she did does not deserve one from me this episode. But I am going to, we're going to diversify it up here because I'm also giving my point to someone who is not Moira nor Patrick. I'm going to give my point to Stevie. And the reason is because, first of all, she is like, Moira, you have your pick. Linens, front desk. Which do you want to do? That's nice of her to do. So that's, first of all, good thing she does. Second of all, she redoubles down on the David, you should get the general store. Be confident in yourself. She's being a really excellent friend. And there is no better friend. She found that blunt and could have kept it to herself. But no, she said, David, will you share this with me to ease your anxieties? What a good friend. What a good friend who shares a random blunt they found on a motel floor. I love Stevie. Stevie killed it this episode. She's getting a simply the best point from me.
How do you clean a blunt that you find out? Like, is that like, I dropped a joint on the ground in Vancouver. And I was like, well, and now it is still just sitting in a container somewhere that I've got somewhere. It's just like one lonely joint in its container. Cause I'd like, I guess I got to dump this out sometime and maybe like re-roll it or so. I don't know.
Oh.
So. Does the 5 second rule apply?
Not on motel floors.
Or Vancouver streets, maybe. I don't know. Like,
wow. Scathing review of Vancouver streets.
No. I think that is any big city street.
Yeah.
Any street. I don't think it's actually got to do with the size of the city. I'm talking myself through this.
Yeah, kind of any street.
I don't think it's like, oh, well, if it was a small town street, you know.
Like, if someone could have peed on the street, then, like, it's a no-go, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Or an animal peed on the street.
You know, okay,
there's pee on the street.
There's a lot of squirrels around, and you don't see where they piss, you know?
I've never seen a squirrel pee.
You never seen a squirrel pee, but it's around. They have to. They must be somewhere.
They must do it.
I will tell you, this is going to sound like a really weird tangent. I grew up.
Oh, now this is?
just this part.
Just this part. I grew up in like a very rural to suburban-y sort of area. So I'm used to people letting their dogs out in their backyards, people like taking their dog on a walk, whatever, whatever. It was very jarring when I went to New York City to watch dogs just full on take a piss in the middle of the sidewalk. Just like right in the middle of the sidewalk. I was like, what is happening? Is this what happened? Was this where dogs go? I guess so. There's nowhere else. Like there aren't trees. Yeah. So they got to go somewhere. But like, it's kind of nasty when you think about it, because people be walking everywhere.
Thought of that or noticed that in a couple of I've only been in New York City a couple of times, and I guess like Times Square almost took all my attention or something.
Oh God, so scary. Yeah,
you know, they might also pee on the ground. We don't know.
they pee on the street too. Okay, now that we finished that side tangent, let's get on to our disgruntled pelican. Stuart, who is your disgruntled pelican this week?
Johnny. Not usually I kind of fumble around like, oh, it's between two people. Johnny. He was awful, did a bad thing, and he needs to be punished for it. Bad Johnny.
I agree with you. I'm also giving Johnny mine. Yes. It's just, the thing is if he only did one of the things, but he both plagiarized Alexis's paper, then didn't even admit to it, and also flubbed the coasters. Like, there's just no forgiving any of this. Poor Johnny, but he's also getting my disgruntled pelican.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely agree. I think that there are, to the point that you talked about earlier, like, there are some episodes where Johnny is, where Johnny as a character is more likable and that sort of thing. This is not one of those. This is one of those that relies heavily on Eugene Levy being a likable person and giving him the benefit of the doubt that he might figure this out sometime, because he's just a nightmare at every turn.
It's so sad because I love Eugene Levy, but it's really bad. It's really bad, Johnny.
The thing that I like soothe myself with sometimes is the better that someone is at playing someone that makes my skin crawl, the more they must actually understand what those things are by like not being that.
Yes.
That's my hope always.
That's why Chris Elliott is so good. Like, because
you
understand Roland? Yeah. It's exactly that.
You can't be a garbage person and actually play a person. Like, you couldn't pretend to be a garbage person that good if you didn't have some level of decency, I think.
You've got to understand it, and someone that's garbage wouldn't have that self-awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's get into tier ranking our episode. Of course, we have Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, Ew David, and Shit Out of Luck. Stuart, do you have any inclination as to where you would like to put this episode?
High average, low good, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I'm walking into a minefield here of people's expectations and kind of
I think that
appreciation for what's coming up. So I'm like, I think it's good. I liked it.
On what you felt, I think. Like, I mean, there are going to be people that, like, certainly, like, people obviously have made their expectations, or, like, people are making their expectations clear. But, like, I think that it's fair and cool. A cool part of you watching the series for the first time is you get to experience whatever is going to come next as it's happening. And so, I think it's very fair. We can... It'd be fun to go back and revisit some of these rankings, Stuart, once you like have the context of everything. But when you don't, you know, what we said earlier, everybody chill.
Everybody chill.
I'm being listener's dad right now. Everybody chill.
Chill. I agree. Like, when I take it storyline by storyline, you know, we have, I really think that the Moira guest conundrum is pretty funny. I enjoy how like mean she is to him, and then how she has to kind of figure out a way to get back on his good side. The Alexa storyline is also pretty good. I think it's decent. I don't think it's bad. And the David storyline, I really like. It's very awkward. Mm-hmm. It hinges. It's like, it's ever so slightly like too awkward for a second, but then it redeems itself, you know? So I think overall, I think it's ever so slightly above average. And I feel like I would probably put it either at the very top of Love That Journey for Me or at the very bottom of Full Bouquet, I think is where I would lean as someone who's seen the whole series multiple times.
Yeah, I certainly say that it was not quite as good as Driving Test, but suddenly better than General Store. And I think if it's better than the highest in a ranking, I'm kind of inclined to go one up. Like, I feel like it's deserved to go a tier ranking up. Mm-hmm. So bottom of Full Bouquet, maybe?
What do you think, JD?
I completely agree with all of that reasoning.
Boom. And look at how nice and symmetrical this looks now. It looks beautiful. Yeah.
It's pretty. Yeah, no, I think completely, like, without needing, like, without the context of anything in the future. And I've watched the show a few times too, but also my memory is bad, so I'm more in Stewart. It's been like 2 months now since I watched the whole series. It's all gone again. But yeah, so I'm much more in Stewart's frame of mind too. But I think that both of you have nailed it.
Yeah, let's leave it in full bouquet. Stewart, you know what you need is if anybody is ever to come at you for what you want to do with your ranking, all you need to do is have a little
garbage.
I've had these soundboard things open the entire time. I've just been waiting for something. I'm so angry that you got that first.
Really? Because I'm
excited beyond compare.
I hate this so much.
Okay, incredible. That was our tier ranking. Next week, Stewart, would you like to know what the title of the episode is?
Absolutely.
Season 3, episode 9. The affair.
What? Who's having an affair? Okay.
Tell me.
If we're gonna think about the relationships. Oh, I think I've got an idea.
What? Who? What?
So I was just thinking, like, all the relationships. Okay, there's no way it can be Roland and Jocelyn. Like, if it did, I'd be angry and I'd Who can turn down naked cribbage? Yeah. Why would you stray when you've got Jocelyn? Because it must be Roland that does the bad thing in that scenario. It can't be Jocelyn. She's perfect. Moira and Johnny? No. No. So who else is there? Bob and Gwen.
Is she pissed about Christmas World? She's so pissed about Christmas World.
He didn't deliver. He shouldn't have come home.
What's she been doing on those library computers?
What's she been doing in the cabin?
Okay.
That's my theory.
All right. Well, we'll have to find out next week. JD, thank you so much again for joining us. It has been such a delight to have you on.
This has been a lovely, fun time. I always love talking about it.
What else you have going on? Anything else you want to plug? Where can people find you?
Oh, nothing. I got nothing. No. where I'm on Arcade Pizza sometimes. That's a podcast where we talk about video games and media that intersects with them. Most recently, we talked about Borderlands, which we did watch at 1.5 speed, which is how I would recommend it.
Oh my god.
It felt appropriately paced at 1.5, honestly. Wow. And yeah, so, you know, if you want to watch Borderlands and you want to do it in an hour 15 minutes, that's how you do it. That's
there you go.
So otherwise, you know, I'm just kind of hanging out on social media, JD Bug for now. You know,
all right,
probably not on it. I'm not on X anymore. I
don't do deleted it. Yeah.
I think my account's still there, but like I deleted the app a few months ago and it turns out I didn't miss it. So
yep.
There you go.
Well, you can find us at Talkin' Shit everywhere. Follow us on YouTube. Remember, we want to get to 200 YouTube subscribers for an unknown reward when we get there, but definitely not waterboarding.
Kind of like an experience.
It could be an experience or not.
Like a reward
and we could
or
have
not.
Coffee or not. Who knows? You can find us at Talkin' Shit. You can find me at The Just Sterling, Stuart at Stuart Drinks Tea. And until next time, everybody, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.